From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, political trivia savant Rich Rabino breaks down Super Tuesday Part 2, STL TV host Todd Blackstock, and the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Oh boy, surf's up. Surf's up, Joey. You know what that means? Because it's spring break time. Spring break. Did you used to enjoy spring break when you were a kid or even as an adult?
We were so poor, we didn't go anywhere. Yeah. I think all I did was just watch cartoons and Price is Right. And Bob Barker was my daddy during the spring break.
And you liked it too, didn't you?
I sure did.
Yeah, as you should.
Threw on the rollerblades and then played a little street hockey, took a few too many pucks to the dome. And then I got Halloween came around, pucks. Got my Jason mask, oh. And then I was safe the following spring break playing street hockey.
Well, it's all different now. Because mm-hmm. We just got back. My wife and I, we were, you know, for the wintertime, because we don't like, not the whole wintertime, but, you know, a lot of February, we were in Panama Beach. And so now I'm getting these little nuggets of news from people down there still during spring break. They don't let the kids do anything anymore. I mean, you can't, there's no alcohol or anything like after 2 o'clock, which I thought was in the afternoon, but they said in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, heck, who's awake at 2 o'clock in the morning? I guess these kids are, but they can't do that. They can't take anything down to the beach. They lock everything up. It just doesn't sound very much fun. So I think your idea with Price is Right is much more enjoyable. Another option.
Ron DeSantis, he's the big man on campus down in Florida. Yes. And he's everyone could be blown up by now. We were recording a few days in advance, but yes. He was sending the National Guard down to Miami Beach to make sure these spring breakers behave themselves. And then I saw an ad from South Beach specifically where they were breaking up with spring break. It was this weird dating profile video where these kids were saying, spring break, we're breaking up with you. And then they scared everyone by saying, there's going to be no parking spots. It'll be a $200 fine if you even park anywhere near the beach. Beaches close at 6. We're going to search every bag. No one's having fun down there.
No, it's not. That doesn't sound like fun at all. You know what happened to me one time? This is a happy story. I guess it was my junior or it could have been senior year. I can't remember if I was in college or grade school or possibly preschool. But we were in Daytona Beach. I was with a friend.
All right? Race cars.
Yeah, right down there at the beach. Sunday. And anyway, so I'm in the day we get there. Are you ready for this? This is a really cheery, uplifting nugget. The day we get there, cops everywhere, fire engines, ambulances, you name it. I mean, you talk about the National Guard. I mean, it was like all the first responders in America were like congregating at our hotel. You know what happened? They were back then. People are a lot more stupid than they are now. I thought they were. People would do this balcony jumping. Okay, so one thing that doesn't mix is a lot of alcohol and jumping from balconies on the outside of a tall hotel, one to the other. Well, one person, I guess he had one too many beer bongs, and he missed the balcony and splat right there on the pool deck. And that was the first day we were there. And guess what happened? You know, I was really peeved because we could not go to the pool for a good 20, 30 minutes.
That's worse than peeing in the pool. Having teeth in there, little floaters.
Well, he missed it. He missed it. I mean, he missed the dismount was horrible because he just splattered all over the, you know, right by the pool. And, you know, I was just lucky I didn't leave my beach towel down there, because if I had left a beach towel and it had like blood and guts on it, I would have been a little upset.
I don't think anyone learned from that sad demise of that man, because I think Jackass came along after that and they were still doing stupid stuff. And then the TikTok generation, they're doing dumb stuff. So you said that, you know, people are smarter now, I don't think so. You're right.
The TikTok. Now, the big thing now, I don't know where it stands as we speak, but they're trying to ban the whole thing. I mean, how are people going to get their identities and all their bank information stolen by China if, you know, they give up TikTok? What's going to happen next? I guess you just mail your information to Beijing or something like that.
It sounds like it's a grift, because whoever's in charge of trying to ban TikTok is saying, well, if an American company owns it, then that's fine.
Who could that be?
So they're saying, I know Rumble is offered to buy TikTok and make it an American brand company, but I'm sure Nancy Pelosi is going to invest in whatever company's about to buy it a few days before.
You're exactly right. That's what she does. She finds out the inside trader information, and then she just like buys a bunch of money. And then her husband, who has some kind of, apparently an intruder who didn't have any clothes on, but they were like cuddling naked from what I understand. He and she, whatever you want to call it, become multi-rich because Multi-rich, is that a word?
No,
I think that's a country western band.
You were never an investment banker is what it sounds like.
No, I was not. I'd say I could have been, but I couldn't have. But yeah, but the, she finds out all about that inside information, and she becomes rich before we can.
She invested in Stanley Hammers, or whatever the big hammer company is, and ski mask the day before. Her husband gets attacked by this nudie intruder, or he was nudie, and then the sales of hammers and ski masks go through the roof.
He was attacked with a hammer or something. And I remember the joke because, like, she's getting hammered while he gets attacked by a hammer. That's a long, old story, though, isn't it? So I want to move on now because you brought up something a little while ago that really, really just kind of, you know, floored me. You were published in Playboy.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying you haven't been?
I've submitted my photos. Okay, and here's
tasteful nudes.
Because I said, you know, and nowadays I could say, well, I identify as a woman with giant D cups. But now, I mean, back when I actually submitted my photos, that didn't work. But you have actually been published. Why did you save this right? You should have just like sprung this on me while we're doing the show, and I could have just been floored in live. I mean, but to tell us your story.
Well, this is the special spring break issue of the Right Mind Show, so that's why we're
surf's up.
You should look for the printed out version of the Right Mind Show. We publish the transcripts, and then of course there's a centerfold, and then great jokes are in there. So please subscribe. Go to therightmindstore.com or whatever it is.
Something like that.
StudioTodd.com.
I don't know what it is.
Let me take you back. Magazines have been so important in my life, I've found out. My grandma, she probably got scammed by Publishers Clearinghouse.
I think Mitch needs to play a little like soothing music, something like some music in the background while you're doing this story. Go ahead. Mitch, can you give me something in a key of G, please? Go ahead now, Joey.
Oh, good choice with the steel drums. Very Caribbean, man.
Now go ahead. Tell the story.
I think my grandma got scammed by a Publishers Clearinghouse guy when I was real little. And then we always had Entertainment Weekly and Premiere Magazine, the premier movie magazine in the house.
Oh, yes.
And so I think that really started my love of movies and TV shows. And then when I worked at a bookstore when I got older, I was in charge of the magazine section. Books a Million. They had the most magazines you've ever seen.
Books a Million?
Books a Million. I think Irma Lagasse was there because people would go in and be like, bam!
Bam!
Bam! Yeah, so Books a Million. And what happened was I met the girl of my dreams there. She was working at the bookstore too. And when we were flirting during the courtship period, we had a little friendly competition to see who could get published in the most magazines. Because she was a writer. She was in college for poetry and creative writing. So to neg her, that's a good dating term, I said, I bet I can get published more than you, the professional writer. So we both started submitting to different magazines. And in this friendly competition, she got in an Entertainment Weekly. You know, I got in Playboy. And I wrote a nice little letter to the editor, and it was about one of the articles, all right? I wasn't judging the broads.
Really?
Yeah, it was. I think they did a profile on Chris Farley after his passing. And so I wrote, you know, what a great story. And then they published me.
Okay, so you just basically, like, kissed up to them, and they printed what you put. You wrote, rather. That's amazing. So now you're having this competition with your girlfriend because, you know, my wife and I, we did that during our courtship. It was arm wrestling, okay? Mm-hmm. And I beat her a couple of times. But anyway, so you had a writing competition, which sounds a lot more cerebral than arm wrestling.
I got in Rolling Stone as well, yeah.
So, I mean, what were your letters about? I mean, were they just flattering or did you ever, you know, do anything controversial?
Usually it was complimenting whatever the big centerpiece story was of the issue. Yeah. And then the editor would say, yeah, we are great. Let's publish this. And then I would get in there.
Oh, wow.
There was a few other magazines that aren't around anymore.
Like what?
Like most magazines.
Did you ever get Boys Life?
Ooh, when I was a Boy Scout, they used to just give that to you for free, didn't they?
They did. Not anymore, though, because, you know, and I think now you have to be Jared Fogle or something like that. I'm not really. Whatever happened to that guy? Is he still in prison? Remember
I think him? He got shanked, but he's way skinnier now, too. The food is terrible in prison.
Oh, I guess it is. I bet you they don't have footlongs there. I bet you they do, but that's a different kind for old Jared, isn't it? We better move on to another subject, didn't we? Or shouldn't we? Spring training. Yeah, we talked about spring break. I guess spring training is going on, isn't it? You know, I talked to Mike Ferguson a little while ago because he's part of this old geezers baseball league.
Yeah, the morning show guy, Mike Ferguson and The Morning. Yeah, he's always hanging out with The Morning.
Well, he waits until I show up just so we can chat. Okay, so we just had a little talk here about because he just got back from Florida where all the old people live. I guess that's why he, you know, plays baseball down there with this old people league. And apparently he had a tournament down there. And I guess all the games have to be day games, though, don't they? Because everybody goes to bed by 4 or 5 o'clock, I would think.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Cardinals, they play in Florida, too, but they play in Jupiter.
Jupiter. That's like a planet, isn't
it? Yeah, I know. That's where you go to get stupider.
Yeah, stupider.
So, I don't know if you're a fan of baseball. It's pretty boring.
You know what I know, and that's like my golf thing. You know, mm-hmm. I have ideas for baseball too, in ways that you know. With golf, I have my brilliant idea about the exploding golf ball. Mm-hmm. You know, the giant picnic table size hole. You know, rather than a little cup. And baseball, I've got some ideas too. Okay, so one of them. Okay, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You play blindfolded, okay? Nobody, I mean, both sides, the batter, the everybody in the field, everybody is blindfolded, okay? It makes, okay, and not only that, okay, everybody watching is blindfolded, and that's all I got.
Yeah, it seems like I could have fun with that. As a fan of sound effects, you know, yeah. I put a lot of effort into the sound effects we put on the show.
And
right
marvelous.
Now, listen to this one. Oh, hilarious.
Oh, that was a good one.
So if I could be on the PA with my mixing board console and just throw some crazy sound effects out there and just make the people, I don't know, poop their pants, like War of the Worlds style or something.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Aliens are coming down. Be careful.
Yeah. You think we could, that could be pulled? You think we
ET's
we could,
running third. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, way back, okay, this is back when I was, I used to work for a local paper here that's very, very liberal, okay? I was a cartoonist for them, and they didn't realize I was conservative. So I was kind of like a spy, you know, that was my spy thing. Mm-hmm. So you think you're a soccer player, Mr. Williams.
That's you were the weather bird for the Post-Dispatch,
no,
lying
I wasn't
about
that
the,
guy.
The rain
I
every
wasn't
day.
That guy. But, no, but I, when I was there way back, I don't even know if you were born yet, John Hewlett and the guys with Casey, they had a little falling out because they did some kind of prank on Casey about – it was almost like the War of the Worlds thing. They something about – it was like a nuclear – they were talking about something that was just a total joke. They made it up, but they got a lot of backlash for it. And so I had to do a cartoon about that, Casey, like the whole situation that, you know, I don't know if he got – he wasn't able to do the PA because of that because he's – John Hewlett is the PA guy for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if he did the same thing he did for Casey – while being a PA for the Cardinals, that could cause real mayhem, like saying there's a nuclear disaster about to happen here at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, fireworks noises, running of the bull sounds,
yes.
You know, Pamplona, Spain, just coming up behind you, ready to gore you.
Yeah.
He could get real creative.
Oh, he could be. He could be really creative for sure. You know, but that was a strange thing, going back in Sense Recall and reliving this whole thing. It was kind of, you ever do something where, you know, it's just so obvious it's a joke, and you're thinking, oh, everybody's going to know this is a joke, but then you have a bunch of stupid people that really think, oh, my gosh, is that real? You ever get that? You know,
yeah, with the girl, I always say, I hate you. And then she starts crying. And I say, that was a joke.
I know. Well, that's what I used to do to my children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I thought I was building character. You know, because I'd always say, you know, you don't want to play baseball because you're not good enough. And then they would cry. And I'd say, I'm just kidding. And at that point, then my wife already had them in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did not. Did you ever do family counseling?
No, we just moved out. And then mom was real sad as an empty nester. And now we don't talk anymore.
I should.
If you have a guy, let me know. Send me his card.
Well, we did. We had Dr. Dave, and I've tried to get him back on the show, but apparently he was run out of town.
You ruined him.
I think I did. I've invited him back several times, but he hasn't been back.
Any doctor you have on the radio, people think they can get free therapy. You know Dr. Randy Tobler? We have him on once a week on the station during the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show, and Chris is always describing moles to him over the radio.
That's disgusting.
Like, I got this one. I think it's moving. Is that normal?
Yeah.
He just blows them off. Like, oh, yeah, movement, growth, all that. That's normal in a mole.
Well, I was on Randy's show last Saturday.
You were?
Two Saturdays. Oh, I guess, you know, I don't know what the date is.
It was definitely a Saturday between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m.
It was very early. And who's the guy? Jeremy? Is that his producer?
Jerome. We call
Jerome.
Him Dr. J because he's got a great hook shot.
Dr. J, yes, Philadelphia 76ers. But that's a whole other story. And you know what happens? They were talking about something very serious. And it was very early in the morning when they wanted to do this. And so I get on the phone, and I'm still waking up, okay? And as I do, that's what I go to sleep, and then I wake up if I'm lucky. And so right as I was waking up, it was time to talk to Randy on the show. And Jerome, I don't know what they were actually talking about beforehand, but he says, try to lighten things up.
That's a good producer right there.
To lighten things up. And I was like, I just woke up. You know, I'm thinking, I don't have my, you know, obscene shtick, you know, even awake yet. But but Randy's a good guy. I saw some of those those charging stations at some gas station.
Did you lick one? What'd you do?
Well, no, because if you lick it, wow, that's a jolt. I'm just going to like segue to something else here. Have you ever stuck a fork in an outlet?
One time I did actually find a electrical cord that had been severed. Like someone had cut the cord off of the end of a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. I was 5 years old, and I thought, I wonder what happens when you plug this in. Mm-hmm. I plugged in a cord that had been severed into the outlet, and it just showered me with golden fireworks. It was so beautiful.
Yes, I bet it was.
And I just screamed and ran away, and before the house burnt down, I think my mom saw it and went and grabbed the plug out of the wall and maybe burnt herself and saved the day. Oh,
that's a good
moment. It was pretty cool. True story, though.
Oh, I totally
believe
it.
So don't do that.
We don't tell lies on the Right Mind Show, because mm-hmm. that would be wrong. Well, my grandmother let me do it one time.
Stick a fork in an outlet.
It wasn't a fork. It was a knife. It was,
ooh,
it was
better.
Like a butter knife type thing. And I kept being a little twerp, okay? And I kept acting like I was going to stick it in the socket. I must have been about, I don't know, 28 or something like that. And she said, go ahead. Just go ahead and do it. If you want to do it, just go ahead and do it. So I did it. Okay?
Teachable moment.
Oh, boy, was that a jolt, as they say. I'll never forget it. But you know what? I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's why you give 9 volts for Christmas.
I do. I give
batteries. Take a lick.
I take a lick of this thing. Yeah. Why not do that? Well, it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time, I think, along with Mitch, if he ever wakes up in the background, too. Mitch, in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my good buddy, Joey B. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We will be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, political trivia savant Rich Rabino talks about the unspoken rule Joe Biden broke during his State of the Union. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who will be giving an update on his weird foot issues at the end of this show during his State of the Bunyan speech, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background. And on the line now is everybody's favorite political analyst, commentator, trivia buff, Rich Rabino. How's it going, my friend? How have you been with all the crazy political stuff going on?
Doing good, but I actually wish there was more crazy political stuff going on, because this is, you know, this is the first time in a long period of time where the general election candidates have essentially been decided after the New Hampshire primary. It's been almost pro forma, if you think about it, where there's so little coverage. Even when we went to South Carolina, where it's supposed to be so critical, there was about a fifth or a sixth story in the news, when Super Tuesday was barely, I mean, didn't get anywhere near the attention it normally gets. And now we essentially know that, barring a cataclysm, it will be Joe Biden versus Donald Trump as the two major candidates. I would have preferred a real catfight of about 67 people running on both parties. That would have made it more exciting, I think.
Well, I keep hearing this chatter, so to speak. And I don't know. I mean, it may just be a bunch of fluff, but there's a possibility that during the Democrat convention that Gavin Newsom may come up. Is there any way that can even happen?
Oh, theoretically, absolutely. Theoretically, when you're voting in primaries, you're voting for suggestions, in a sense. It's almost like when you're winning the electoral college, you're actually not voting for people, you're voting for electors. What you're voting for is delegates to go to the convention, and those delegates are essentially pledged to that person. Now, theoretically, a political party is a private club. And if you go back to 1968, for example, Eugene McCarthy, the senator from Minnesota, was winning primaries. Hubert Humphrey didn't participate in any. His strategy was to wait, was to go to the convention and basically woo the people at the convention, the actual delegates, and they went and they voted for Humphrey over McCarthy. That could absolutely happen. Now, if that does happen, it's not good public relation-wise. There theoretically could be just about riots in the streets. What could happen, let's say that when they put up the delegates, someone nominates Joe Biden and somebody nominates Gavin Newsom, and the delegates, a lot of these people who were pledged to Joe Biden, change and all of a sudden would vote for Gavin Newsom. That is completely legal, certainly, by both political parties. That could happen, but the chances are extremely slim. The scenario I do hear sometimes, though, is what if Biden comes to the convention and all of a sudden says that for the good of the party, I'm going to serve out my full term, but I'm not going to run for re-election. Says something to the fact that there's so much going on right now, I can't spend this much time focusing on two things. If that were to happen, then Biden all of a sudden would get an applause. He'd be seen as a statesman. Somebody else would get there and get the nomination. But I don't see Joe Biden doing that. I think if he were to do that, if that was his ultimate plan, I don't think he would have as many campaign offices open in the country as he has right now. Not that he'd be spending as much time. Look at his schedule, even his official White House schedule. Look at how much time he spends going to places like Wisconsin, which are swing states. He'll go there for an official duty as a president, giving a speech about something. But the amount of time he's spending in these swing states, and the fact that he's got these campaign quarters just about everywhere in these swing states, proves to me that Joe Biden thinks he's going to go all the way.
I've never, I mean, have you ever remembered any time when things have been this divided when it comes to just, one side, whether it's the public or whether certain sections, areas rather, of our government? I mean, going back to even the State of the Union speech, I mean, that had to have been the most, in my opinion at least, the most divisive speech I've ever heard. And it was almost as if we're making it an effort here. We're making a point that this is us, and if you're not with us, you're a MAGA Republican or something. I mean, have you ever seen, has there ever been a point in history? I mean, we talked about in the 60s with things like that, but this seems even more than that. I mean, when you have your own president coming out and just calling out people, I mean, if you don't have your base, how is that going to help him moving forward, with this upcoming election if he's still in it?
Well, yes, indeed. And you never see a scenario where a president goes after a former president without mentioning his name, but he goes after him, said 14 times, my predecessor, referring directly to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Usually the rule of thumb is that for presidents, they don't go at, I mean, the other side of that is the current presidents rarely go after their predecessors, and the predecessor rarely goes after the current president, except they do it in a very thematic way. But really, do they go after the person personally? Of course, Donald Trump broke that rule by going after Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, of course, is now going after Donald Trump and mentioning it 14 times. It's really – and hearing members of the House of Representatives starting to yell 4 more years like it was – like he was campaigning – like he was in campaigning Wisconsin in November of 2024.
Right.
Usually for speeches, the inauguration speech is usually supposed to be the nonpartisan speech. We never mention anything that's controversial or very little. The State of the Union speech is supposed to have politics in it, but the politics are supposed to be undergirded. They're supposed to be kind of below this idea that we should all work together in unification. And then you have the campaign speech, which is what you heard from Joe Biden, which is essentially a speech saying, this is what my predecessor did, this is what I'm doing. And to Joe Biden's credit, he was very good when the Republicans started coming. He was very quick on his feet when the Republicans would start laughing or booing. He would immediately go after him. And sometimes he made it kind of folksy. At one time he said, "You too, Lindsey," looking at Lindsey Graham. So Joe Biden kind of started it with this, and the Republicans continued it. Then the Democrats started making it, going about Trump, Biden, 2024. And then if you look at the end of the speech, usually the president takes a couple minutes. He gets out there, says, good to see you, thanks for coming, and walks out. He spent about 37 minutes leaving the House of Representatives. He could not leave fast enough. When members started talking to him, he continued to talk to them. And he would talk to them for a long period of time, which is, I guess, vintage Joe Biden. Now, in terms of have we been in a divisive period like this, I think the closest would be 1968. That was when you had the Vietnam War, first of all. Then you had the race riots. There was still some overhang from the passage of the Civil Rights Act. And there was a general argument of what government should do. There was a war on poverty. That was in the 68 convention that year. Because the Democrats chose Hubert Humphrey, who was not the choice of kind of the Democratic base or the people who were voting in the primaries, you ended up having riots that year in Grant Park in Chicago. None of this benefited the Democrats, and Richard Nixon landed up becoming president. That's probably in terms of history, obviously the Civil War takes the cake for it being the most divisive time. I would say 1968 was probably the second most divisive time. And then I would say the last 5 or 6 years is probably the most divisive time. And I often wonder what it's going to take to get America kind of out of this division. Usually there's always, after a time of division, eventually the country kind of unifies. We have very boring times. I mean, after the Civil War, you had the 1880s, which no one remembers today. After the 1930s with the Great Depression and World War II, eventually you had the 50s, which were kind of a sleepy decade. And then right after the 60s and 70s, you had the 90s. You had the 90s, which were generally sleepy. So we should have a sleepy decade. I would say by about 2040, we'll probably not be unified, but we'll probably have a time when people are more depoliticized and you can actually have a conversation with a colleague about politics and not worry about getting your face punched in.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you and I should be at our peak in the peak in the 2040s, I'm sure. Well, going back to Joe again,
absolutely.
What do you think? I think the elephant in the room is Kamala Harris. I mean, if you look at that, I mean, obviously, if he has her tagging along for this this new campaign, I mean, I think the majority of people think if he does in some way make it and win, it's going to be limited. I mean, are people have to know that they're also voting for Kamala Harris, and is that a drawback?
Yes, I think it is. I think that's partly why the White House has not put her out out front. Like some, at least she's basically played the role of vice president before Walter Mondale. When Jimmy Carter picked Walter Mondale for a vice president, Jimmy Carter said the vice president's going to be his right-hand man. He's going to be involved in all these decisions. And pretty much every president since then has followed that precedent. Joe Biden has pretty much put her on the sidelines. And then he put her on a few kind of assignments that weren't necessarily meant for her, like saying, you know, you're in charge of the border, that type of thing. He needs her out there to the extent that he wants to show people that at least people that are at least center left people can at least, that don't necessarily like her, can say, all right, she's okay, I'm neutralized by her. The problem is you hear oftentimes, what if Biden gets her off the ticket? I think it'll be very hard to take the first female and the first woman of color off of the presidential ticket. If that were to happen, then there'd be a lot of disassociation with him on the left. A lot of people in the left wing would probably even go to Cornel West or say, I'm not going to vote if that happens. So I don't know politically how he can do that. Now, if she were to come out and say, I have something else to do. Now, the perfect example would have been, what if she had said, you know, what if she were to come out and say something like, you know, in 2028, I've been thinking about my home, or 2026, I've been thinking about what's going on in my home state. So therefore, I think I'm going to declare my candidacy for governor of California, who has so many plans that time or this time around. Then Joe Biden could theoretically pick somebody else, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Joe Biden, whether he likes it or whether he doesn't like it, is going to be stuck with Kamala Harris. And I think most Americans, though, also when they're going to the polls, most Americans aren't as informed as I guess we are. Most Americans are kind of depoliticized. They think about it every 4 years. When they go to the polls, they're going to be thinking at the end of the day, they're going to be thinking about Biden, Trump, and any third party candidate running for president. They're probably Kamala Harris is going to be probably in the last, is considered a major part of their decision making. And for that matter, Donald Trump, unless he does a real Hail Mary and picks somebody nobody would think of, it's probably going to be the same with Donald Trump's running mate as well.
Who do you think he's going to pick? Do you have any ideas or thoughts?
Yeah, I'm thinking about this. First of all, supposedly Donald Trump is skeptical about somebody who is 100% against abortion rights because he doesn't think it's something they can sell to the American people. He thinks that Republicans have a vulnerability, which would take away somebody like Tim Scott from consideration theoretically, although I think Trump likes him personally. One I keep going back to in my mind is Tulsi Gabbard, the former Democratic congressman from Hawaii who ran for president last time around, didn't get anywhere. Then she's become kind of a conservative since then. Part of it because she galvanizes conservatives, also because Trump would allow her, it would allow the Republicans to get somebody after the convention to say, my party has not left me. I have not left the Democratic Party. My party has left me. Then she can talk about how the Democratic Party and talk about former policies they supported and how they've gone radical left, that type of a thing. That's something where Donald Trump might actually be able to get something out of, because people be saying, why is this former Democrat? Why is she now a Republican? The problem would be a lot of Republicans would not like it once they found out her positions, and her positions used to be very liberal when she was in the House of Representatives. That's one person I would think Christine Noem might be out of the contention now, mm-hmm. because she supported the 6-week ban in her state of South Dakota. And then you just go around the country and you try to look at somebody who's kind of a Trump-like Republican. J.D. Vance, theoretically, a senator from Ohio, would be a possibility. He's only been in the elective office for 2 years. Kerry Lake in Arizona, who ran for governor last time and barely lost when at some places is a disputed election. I don't see him actually choosing someone that has no actual elective political experience, but that certainly is a remote possibility. Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida, you often hear about, very charismatic congressman. If he were picked, though, Trump would have to move back to New York because the U.S. Constitution states that electors cannot vote for a candidate from their home state for president and vice president, meaning that in Florida, which is likely to go for Trump, would vote for Donald Trump, and then for vice president, they would have to leave their votes blank, which could afford the situation. Very fascinating if it's close enough. With Donald Trump as president and Kamala Harris as vice president, I'm sure they get along great.
Okay, well, can you repeat that one more time? I'm kidding.
Imagine that Trump-Harris 2024. That would unify everybody.
Oh, there you go. Wow, I don't know. I mean, you know, in this crazy world, nothing would surprise me at this point. I seriously wouldn't. You wake up tomorrow and that wouldn't surprise me one single bit. Well, how are things going on the trivia front? Is the book doing well?
Yeah, it's kind of at the end of the phase of the selling books now. We're doing a lot of media appearances, which is fun. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I guess it's part of the greatness of the election cycle in America is as soon as one election's over, 2 days later, someone's up in New Hampshire or someone's in South Carolina or Iowa on official business, but they're really, you know, they're really trying to lay the land for their own presidential candidacy. So, I mean, it's fascinating for me because I like the politics and I like the kind of internecine warfare and I like sometimes the strategy of it. And we're not in a time where it's not like the 1990s or the 50s or I guess the 20s when politics was kind of, you know, just something people thought about once in a while. People that don't usually have much interest in politics now, all of a sudden they can't get away from it. We're so politicized as a society. So for someone that's interested in the whole process, I love it.
Well, and that's, like you said, that's good for you, and you're becoming quite the TV star also. And as always, I'm always thrilled to see you, your star rising, as it should.
Yeah.
And you owe it all to us. You owe it all to us.
I owe it all to you, absolutely. When you began in that old little radio station, you invented your, you made yourself and put your own antenna up.
That's
where it all began.
That's what I did. We had the gerbil running on the little treadmill for power and the whole nine yards. It was a good time.
And then you had me running all over all over St. Louis with the sandwich signs, telling people to get over there.
You're not supposed to tell that part. You're supposed to that was a secret. That was a secret. But yeah, and you did a great job though. Yeah. All right, my friend.
And now you're world famous.
Well, no, I'm following you. I'm trying to be like you are, but congratulations. But we'll have you back on if you have the time, and you know you can look down on us little people again because you've got a big. We've got a lot of excitement coming up in the next few months, and you're the first person I like to go to for the answers and ideas on that. So thanks for joining us.
Love to do it. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, talk to you soon, my friend. All right.
Indeed.
Bye bye. Well, Rich Rubino, I tell you, he's always a wealth of information. And the thing is, you know, I can actually ask him things. I feel like I could actually say, hey, Rich, what's your favorite recipe for a pot pie? And like he just starts rambling off like this wealth of information. It's like you can ask the guy anything. And do you know anybody besides me that is that way?
No, and I think he's from Massachusetts, but he is no masshole. He is one of the nicest guys.
He's not a masshole.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that
term. And something you really need to think about, I want you to go to richrubino.com and pick the book out that's right for your wobbly table. Think about the height. Maybe you want a paperback. Maybe you want a hardback. And then get his book and just stick it under your wobbly table, and it'll fix it. That's the type of guy that he is. He writes these books to make your life better.
Well, not only that, the table's going to have to be very uneven because these books, I mean, they're the size of, I don't know if you remember a telephone book, but these books are very big books. You can actually use one of these books as a table. So think of that, too. Just get rid of the wobbly table and just use one of Rich Rubino's A Political Challenge book, you know, as your next, you know, coffee table, dining room table, or, you know, TV tray.
Beautiful. Get 10 of them so it's high enough so you can actually eat off of it while you're eating in front of the TV.
I think the next Thanksgiving should all be, you know, served on Rich Rubino's trivia books.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, we have plenty of other ideas in the meantime. And also in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V, Mitch in the background. This is The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Emmy-winning reporter Todd Blackstock talks about his decades-long career with STL TV. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL, and now a man who uses so much bronzer that he's thinking about becoming a color commentator, Todd Showalter.
Hey, we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background doing his Mitch stuff, and in the office, no, it's not an office, actually a studio, we should say, with me now is somebody I've known for a very, very, very long time. He's the host of STL TV and also 93.1 Classic Rock. Todd Blackstock. How are you doing, my friend? My gosh. I mean, you're right here in the flesh, and I got to say, you dressed up for the occasion.
I tell you, you always got to dress up for radio. You know, it's nothing like having a suit and tie to sit in a studio here and hang with a guy I've known since the 80s.
Well, you know, I tell you what, if you're more comfortable, you could be like Joey and I, just take your pants off. Do we have your pants are on. Okay, never mind.
We got the cameras out of here so we can be pantsless.
I'm slowly disrobing as we speak.
That's
right. Coming from a shoot. And...
Wonderful. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. You're coming from a shoot. Now, you're in St. Louis, so you came from that senior from a shoot. Is that like on the north side, like a shooting or something like that?
No, actually, we had a taping, I should say. Yeah, a taping today at the STL TV studios.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And actually, one of my guests was a guy that just started a radio show here.
We did that on purpose.
Yeah. Frankie Gambaletti.
Okay.
Gambaletti.
Yeah, Frankie. What we wanted to do was
from the Haunted Garage.
From the Haunted Garage.
Yes.
His show. But he's still in the hazing period. So we sent him to see Todd to make sure that Todd was legit and would really did have a show there, because we didn't believe you. But it checked out, and here you are, and you're all dressed. And I got to tell you, you came in with a whole bunch of notes. Now, we go way back to the 80s. I mean, school and all that. You know for me from school, I never had notes. Are these still from when we were in school?
No, not really. I was looking for some of my Showalter Worlds cartoons.
Oh, did you?
From back in the day, because I remember Todd is an amazing cartoonist.
Oh.
A lot of satire. And
yeah.
When we were down, we went to high school at Parkway West together.
Yes, we did.
You were a year older than me.
Yeah.
And we went to SEMO together.
Yes.
And Todd was like the cartoonist for, I guess it was for our school newspaper.
I mentioned earlier, we brought in the tube tan, which is the bronzer. So you have it there in front of you. So if you want to just lather up with a little bit of bronzer,
sure.
He's actually doing it. Fantastic. Perfect. And now Joey's over there thinking, he took my bronzer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why did we take the cameras out of here?
You're not going to, but look at his forehead. It looks like you spilled coffee on yourself. It really
is. Is there any redeeming quality as far as like lotion and moisture?
It does. It actually has. This bronzer actually has vitamin A, B, C, D, E, F, G in it, and this will actually moisturize your skin as well as give you all the nutrients that you need for the day.
How about that?
Isn't that wonderful?
It's a sunny day, too, so I can maybe double duty on it.
Don't do a double duty on it. No, if you do a double duty on it, that's going to be a different kind of bronze. And, we don't want to go with
that. What is that skin mark on your forehead?
What is that?
Oh, my guess got a skin. He's doing double duty.
Double duty. Now, I guess it's time we should let Todd talk if I don't interrupt him. But is that
you proposed
possible?
To him? Is that what you said?
Back in the day? Okay. Now, I was telling Joey the story when my wife, okay, this is who she's still my wife. I attribute that to you, okay? It was October 10th, 1992. I don't forget dates.
10-10.
Something like that. And when I proposed to my wife, Todd, who's sitting here with a streak of bronzer in his notes and his tie on, he wasn't bronzed at that point. He was the one that kind of coordinated the proposal that I had with my wife at dinner that night. Oh, there goes my mic.
What a real Cupid of a man.
He was. And I would tell the story. Now, at the time, did you think she's going to say no?
I really didn't, because I knew your dad was kind of a high roller and at the
my
media club.
My dad was a high roller?
I don't know. I remember you guys were members of the media club.
Well, he was actually a part of his group, like what the firm he worked with.
Yeah.
They were. And so he would go there and play squash all the time. But I didn't know my dad was a high roller.
Well, anybody that's in a private club like that, pretty swanky, must be pretty well off. But you guys were in there, and he was a really nice guy. Your family was just wonderful. And Todd is like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to propose to my wife.
Yeah.
So I was the waiter. Yeah, yes, sir. Oui, monsieur.
Yeah, you were. Oh. You had a tux on and everything, too. Now, was that a rental?
No, it wasn't. I actually I wore it and washed it.
Oh, I thought you rented it just for my occasion.
Well, that was our regular attire at a pretty swanky place like the Media Club.
Is that still around?
I don't think it is. It was at the top of the ninth floor or the eighth floor of the Laclede Gas Building.
Yeah, it's way up there.
Way up there.
Yeah.
And they had great food. They had a great chef in there. And
yeah.
I remember Todd was getting ready to propose to his wife.
Yes, I was.
And I got to bring the wedding ring.
Yeah.
I guess the engagement ring.
No, it wasn't a ring. It was actually...
It was in the in a cookie or as a dessert.
It was a fortune cookie.
Yes.
It was a fortune cookie.
So I was the guy that got to walk up.
Yeah.
And my cue
right.
was Phantom of the Opera.
That's right, the Phantom of the Opera, right.
Yeah, they started playing the Phantom of the Opera. I walk up very...
The Phantom.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Madame, may I present to you...
And that was what happened.
Then you take it from there. Then you
well,
went
she,
all
well,
out.
Here's the thing that happened during that date, because they actually, a fortune cookie, which she thought, well, she's having a good time, because usually I would take her to Applebee's or Sizzler Steakhouse or something like that. And so she thought, well, she decided, so I thought, well, maybe I'm suggesting like there's some Oriental thing so that the fortune cookie would be obvious. She says, no, I don't know if I'm ever going to see this guy again. I'm getting the steak, the lobster. She like went crazy. She went, I mean, she, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I should marry her. She's got a really expensive taste. And so she like bought, she ordered everything on the menu. But then I'm thinking, how is a fortune cookie going to work with this? But it did. And yeah, she said yes. And the rest is history. Now, SDL TV, tell me, Todd, it obviously has to do with SDL, which is St. Louis. And it has to do with television because it says TV. See what I did there? I put those two together.
That was brilliant.
Well, investigative journalism.
SEMO gave me a diploma. They say, you're getting out of here. Just take the thing and leave. So anyway, what tell us about STL TV.
STL TV is the City of St. Louis Communications Division. We have our studios at 4971 Oakland Avenue, right across the street from St. Louis U High. And we do basically community-oriented television. We like to highlight cool things that are going on in St. Louis. Because St. Louis, you know, we take a beating sometimes with crime and things, but there's a lot of neat things that happen in St. Louis and just a lot of neat people. And not just in St. Louis, but like the surrounding areas. Take, for instance, last week, I interviewed the mayor of Wellston,
okay,
Nate Griffin. And he's actually the owner of a professional basketball team in St. Louis called the Griffins. They play at Jennings High School, so I didn't know that.
The Griffins. Now, do tell.
That's
now,
his name is Griffin, and so Griffins is like a, it's like this creature. It's like a hawk or an eagle on the top and a lion on the bottom.
That's just like
it's not a battle hawk,
that was in here. It's not a battle hawk because Tom Swoboda, he was in here last week, and he was talking about the battle hawks. But this basketball team, I'm intrigued. Now, who plays on this basketball team?
You know, some really,
Meadowlark Lemon?
No, some top players from St. Louis that they may not have got a chance to play big-time college basketball. Maybe they didn't have grades. Maybe they wanted to play pro basketball, but they don't want to go overseas. Mm-hmm. They pay them like $3,500 a week or a month,
and get out of here.
They get some pretty good talent. You know, I mean, I do the public address for the St. Louis Surge,
right?
Which is the women's minor league basketball team, semi-pro.
Yes,
for Kalia Collier, who is the vice president of basketball operations for the Dallas Mavericks.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I get to do their, you know, ladies and gentlemen, your St. Louis Surge. So that, you know, that was interesting to me because I do minor league semi-pro basketball as well.
Sure, okay.
Now, the mayor of Wellston, he's trying to bring good things to the area.
Okay.
You know, like competition and fun things. Also, this lady, Miss Bellman, they had a...
Miss Bellman?
Yeah, DASA. So DASA, Disabled Athletes Sports Association.
Oh, okay.
And they do like the Paralympians and the Paralympics in conjunction with the Olympics.
Right.
And they have a huge program here in St. Louis. I didn't know about it.
Wow.
But now I do because I got to do the show and the research. Today we had that the guy with a haunted garage on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on ABC Saturday morning at like 5:30 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, he might still be up, or we might still be up. Who knows?
I've always thought of STL TV as a type of public access, but let me know if that's incorrect. And also,
government
Do you give out shows to normal weirdos like us? What's the difference between public access and letting crazy people on the air?
Well, public access is where you buy a show, or you go in and you double helix. You know, they used to have you could go in and you could do any topics of, you know, you like and just do it. At STL TV, we have a staff.
Okay.
Donnybrook Sanders is the commissioner, Andre Holman, supervisor. We've got Asia Miles, guys like Jerry Berwin and Joe Brown. Most of the guys that work at STL TV are union guys, and they worked the Rams games, the Cardinals games, the Blues games. They're all like the IBW4 guys. So they do a great job around town, make a little extra cash on the side doing sports on the weekends. But
is there a way that we can support STL TV as the public? Do we donate money or do you get money from the government? How can we help
telephones?
Out?
There's like a franchise fee. It's like, I don't know, a couple bucks.
Really?
You know, if you subscribe to Charter,
it
comes out of the franchise fees and we get certain, you know, grants and things.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there almost 25 years. And in 2003, we won the city's first Emmy Award.
So you have an Emmy Award?
I won an Emmy Award back in 2003 with the History of Negro League Baseball.
Oh, how neat.
In St. Louis, yeah. You know, well, by the way, I'm on 9 to midnight on the show Blackstock Saturday night.
Blackstock Saturday
9 night. 9 to midnight on Classic Rock, 93.1 FM, KBDZ.
Yeah.
And worldwide at lowercasetoddrocks.online.
I love it.
That's cool that they hired you for that show.
That is neat.
Blackstock.
I like doing that. You ever been to, like, Walgreens when you get your prescription because it's all done, like, through that glass thing now? But that's how I do it. They say, do you have a prescription? No, I'm here for a soda. Of course I have a prescription, but I do it like you. I say, yeah, I'm here for a prescription. I'm here for the afternoon and the ibuprofen and like an antibiotic and, you know, something like that. Mm. So anyway, okay, that wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. Well, thanks for joining us, Todd. Until next time, we'll hear you on the radio. We'll see you on television, and I may see you out at working with the Surge.
We do the Surge games at Wash U, and we're doing Fontbonne. Fontbonne, we're not sure what's going to
be. Yeah, they're leaving.
They're going to be in a couple of years, so we'll still have access to that.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for joining us, buddy. You're looking
good. Thank you.
Now, our favorite admiral calling directly, well, actually, we're calling him on the farm today. It's Admiral Andy. You're on a farm today?
Hello, gentlemen. Yes, I am.
Now, this has me quite flummoxed amongsted. I didn't know admirals went on a farm. What kind of do you dock the submarine, the love tunnel, up to the to a stall? How did this work? And why did you even want to go on a farm? You see, I've never had any interest to go to a farm.
Oh, I'm working on my buddy's land right now.
You're doing
cutting
what?
Cutting down trees, clearing land, that kind of thing.
Now wait a minute. You have a friend that you go out and do chores for?
Yeah.
Okay, do you do that for all of your friends? Because I have a few trees and homes and neighbors, you know, swing sets and stuff. I could, you know, have you could get rid of that if you want to, like, you know, have a spare moment.
Well, you know, it's kind of a quid pro quo, if you will. I come up here, I work his land, and in return, I get to hunt, camp, fish, and do whatever I want.
Oh, wow, that's nice. So where's Alma the dog? That's what we're really calling. Is she doing okay? Because I've got a few questions for her if she's available.
Well, she's actually at home.
No way. You left. Now, Admiral Andy, this is a big step for you because I know that Alma the dog goes with you everywhere. What is this part of, you know, the therapy that we talked about that I've been giving you?
No. It's working with the chainsaw. I can't keep my eye on her and concentrate on what I'm doing. So.
Oh, chainsaws and Alma don't mix. Neither do fingers. You want to hear a funny story? Well, I really shouldn't tell it, but I will. This doesn't have to do with a chainsaw, but we once had an electrician that only had two fingers on each hand. He looked like a crab. And whenever I see somebody working on a chainsaw, with a chainsaw, not on a chainsaw, I always think of that electrician and think this person may be the next guy that I know that'll be, like, you know, fixing the wiring in my house. Joey has a question for you. He just doesn't know what it is yet.
I had a neighbor that was a bit of a prepper before Y2K, and he bought a school bus and he painted it camouflage. And this was just in a regular suburban neighborhood in St. Louis. And he was trying to take a tree down for some reason. So he decided to tie the bus to the tree with some rope and a chain and drive. And I was filming it with my mom's camcorder just in case it fell on his house. And luckily, everything turned out fine. But man, I thought if this falls on his house, I'm going to be a millionaire or whatever amount of money they're giving away to America's Funniest Home Video winners. I was praying.
Admiral,
I was praying for a tree to fall on a man for humor and money.
I can't believe you brought that story up, Joey. Admiral, you're going to love this one, too. My wife, she always calls me cheap, all right? But I call it being frugal, all right? So we had this tree in our front yard that had to be taken down. And everybody was bidding, like, thousands of dollars. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I don't want a new deck or a pool or a new house. I want this tree taken down. So I procrastinated, if you know what I mean. Well, what? Seriously, one day, door to door.
The divorce papers are written up, and you're like, I guess I got to do something.
Well,
now.
No, she wouldn't do that. I'm just so much fun. But this guy shows up. He has no teeth, and he had like a Wiccan wife. And he said, you want that tree taken down? That's what he said. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. My wife thinks I'm too cheap to have it done. Oh, no, I'll do it for you like $400. I go, 200? You got a deal. $200. $200. This guy, this is a true story, Joey. I'm not making this up. If my wife calls in, even though it's taped, she would attest to it. So this guy, this big old tree in our front yard, he starts just sawing at the base. And I say to him, hey, aren't you supposed to take like the top limbs off first? And nah, I've been doing this my whole life. This is how you do it. And his wife is in the front yard as like Wiccans do, and she's just like clapping, watching along. And he keeps sawing, and then he ties this rope to it. He goes, now you just hold it steady. And I go, hold it steady. I thought you were doing this job. To make a long story short, he cuts at the base of this tree, and it's just all of a sudden, like a huge whoomp. This whole tree just comes falling down, misses my house by probably 2 inches, and explodes in my driveway. And that got rid of the tree. And he said, there you go. And my wife, get this, she was out having lunch with her sister, so I thought I was going to impress her with getting rid of this tree because, you know me, I'm a big spender, $200. Little did I know that there would be just piles and piles. It was like a Jenga game of trees all over my yard. And then he says, I don't clean it up. But he did say this, I took care of that other tree on the side of the house for you, but no extra charge. This guy, I didn't ask you to do another tree on the side of my house. He cut this tree that we had just planted, like these evergreens in the backyard. He cut the wrong tree down. So not only did he knock this whole tree down in the front yard, nearly kill me and explode my driveway, but he cut the wrong tree down in the backyard. And that's the last I ever saw of him.
You know, you get what you pay for, my friend.
Okay, well.
Your turn, Andy. Yeah, tell us a tree story.
This is your segment. Did I hog it again?
No, you never do, ever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to talk for the next 3 seconds. Well, my friend, as always, you've been on the show and I've hogged it all. Is there anything you'd like to throw in here before I cut you off and keep talking?
Absolutely. Check out Nothing's Off the Table podcast every Friday night at 7 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, Kick, Twitch, and Twitter.
Okay, that was a little hard because I do want people to watch it because you do have a heck of a show. And with all the joking around we do, you have a great show. Nothing's Off the Table podcast is on all the major platforms. And you are. Seriously, I have kids that I'm proud of, but I'm not as proud of them as I am of you because you've really, you've taken this to a new level and you really do have a heck of a show.
Well, you know, you don't have to lie to make friends. I already like you, but I do appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Admiral Andy. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
All right, fellas. Take care.
All right. Well, there goes Admiral Andy on the farm. I mean, tell you what, I guess he's like, you know, feeding the chicks, milking the cows. Can you imagine Admiral Andy milking a cow?
Yeah, of course. He can milk anything with nipples.
I think that's why Alma stayed at home today. She didn't want to be milked again. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. And like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.